Imagine going from LA to San Francisco in less than 3 hours at speeds of more than 200 miles an hour. That's the promise of a high-speed rail system that could revolutionize travel in California. But critics are calling it a massive waste of public money. Will it run off the rails or become a track to the future? Correspondent Saul Gonzalez takes a look at both sides of the debate.
Los Angeles's Union Station. Opened in 1939, it's a cathedral to the golden age of American rail travel.
Hey, you guys all ready for a train trip?
And although the luster of passenger rail has faded over the decades, there's still a lot of daily hustle and bustle here as passengers board trains bound for places as close as San Diego and Santa Barbara and as far as Chicago and New Orleans. Many passengers, like Charlotte Ashland, wouldn't travel any other way.
I love the leisure and just making it part of your trip instead of rushing on an airplane and going through all of the hassle you have to go through to fly anymore.
And looking ahead, many politicians and planners hope a new golden age of rail travel is about to arrive in California because of this. Plans to build a sleek, high-speed rail system connecting Los Angeles to San Francisco, Sacramento, San Diego, and points between. With trains traveling at 220 miles per hour, whisking passengers from L.A. to San Francisco in about 2.5 hours, and keeping California on the cutting edge.
I think it is an opportunity for California to continue to be the forerunner, the image maker, the state that has the big ideas and implementing new systems and new technologies. It's probably a way for California to continue to be California.
Anaheim Mayor and former Republican Speaker of the California State Assembly, Kurt Pringle, is chair of the California High-Speed Rail Authority. He says fast trains are indispensable to California's transportation future as the state's population grows and gridlock worsens.
When you contemplate moving 30, 40, 50 million people a year on a system like the one we are putting together in California, it's a big deal, and it will have an everlasting impact on people's lives and will be a part of the fabric of California. That's what our plan is.
Inspired by the long success of high-velocity trains in Europe and Asia, there's been talk in California for years about building its own high-speed rail system. It finally took a big step, though, from pipe dream to reality when California voters approved a $10 billion high-speed rail bond in 2008. That was followed by the Obama administration's announcement this year that California will receive $2.25 billion in federal stimulus funds for high-speed rail. Groundbreaking could start as early as next year.
So this project has become real in a lot of people's minds.
The travelers we met at Union Station like the idea of faster trains. Right now, instead of 2.5 hours, it takes upwards of 11 hours to travel by Amtrak to the Bay Area. And part of that trip is by bus.
In Europe, everyone travels by train. The trains are punctual. They arrive and leave within a minute of the time they say. They're clean.
Fast.
They're fast and clean. Yeah.
You like that speed?
I love that speed.
However, as the projected $42 billion high-speed rail project picks up speed, so too do serious criticisms of its cost, planning, and management.
Since World War II, we built dozens of passenger rail lines in cities around the U.S., and they haven't been very successful.
Adrian Moore is a transportation analyst with a free market-oriented Reason Foundation. He thinks high-speed rail in California is a boondoggle in the making.
How we're going to build it is not clear. How we're going to fund it is incredibly not clear. And how many people would actually use that when Southwest is already flying from Burbank and LAX to San Francisco and Oakland for a fraction of the cost and less time? We tried to estimate how much we think this would really cost, and it's challenging. But 60 to 80 billion is much more realistic, and they've got essentially in hand 11 billion. So they're only a quarter of the way to their very low ball estimate. They're a long ways from the real amount it's going to cost to build this thing.
Such criticisms are echoed in a California legislative analyst report released earlier this year. It found significant details still missing or vague about the high-speed rail project, from projected ridership levels to funding and financing, to construction and planning timelines.
The critics of the high-speed rail system, and I quote here, have called the numbers you're using a fairy tale and really irresponsible public policy. You know it's going to cost more and a lot more, and you know the riders aren't going to be there in the quantity you say they're going to be there. How do you respond to that?
Well, that is the problem with building something new, building something for the first time. We are just using different experiences from around the world to reflect as to what the demand would be here in California. And we believe it will match those ridership numbers, and we will do what we can to ensure that we contain those costs.
For communities where the train stops, Pringle predicts economic benefits. His own city of Anaheim plans to convert this vacant lot into a futuristic rail hub.
People will come to Anaheim, and this will be that gathering point for them to get on the train or disembark from it.
And that means visitors coming in, money being spent here, jobs being created in Anaheim.
Exactly.
Yet some neighborhoods and communities along the proposed high-speed rail route are starting to wonder if they can coexist with the system.
This high-speed train, where is it going to fit? The concern is where they plan on putting the alignment.
Gustavo Lizarde is both an auto body shop owner and president of the neighborhood council in L.A.'s Cypress Park community, through which high-speed trains are supposed to travel as they depart from and arrive at Union Station. Lizarde fears building the high-speed train route could derail plans to bring more parks and open space to his neighborhood. A concern, he says, the rail authority hasn't taken seriously in meetings with the community.
I didn't like the fact that they told us this is how it's going to be. They didn't ask, hey, is it okay? They came in telling us it's going to happen, we're getting the funding, and that's it. No roundtable discussions, no community outreach aside from the land use committee.
Just laying down the law, essentially saying,
that's
this
how
is what we're doing,
yes,
we're not asking.
Yes, that's how I took it.
Kurt Pringle says the High Speed Rail Authority has just started serious community outreach, but acknowledges grassroots opposition is inevitable.
Of course there's going to be impacts. And when you talk about political astuteness or awareness, well, the one thing I know is that old adage that all politics is local. Therefore, in every single community in which we're engaged, there's going to be local concerns, local pushback. There's going to be local desires. All of those issues we are tackling right now, all at once. And that is a daunting task.
Just another reason, critics say, for stopping high-speed rail in its tracks.
We have to prioritize. It would be nice if California had this infinite wealth, but we don't. We can't even afford to do what we're trying to do now, to divert these tens of billions into something that is not going to work, is folly.
As high-speed rail moves from blueprints and computer graphics to real-world construction, questions will likely persist about whether California is building a visionary transportation system that will be used by millions or a very fast and expensive white elephant. I'm Saul Gonzalez for SoCal Connected.